Now, the next hormonal system to consider is the adrenal medulla. And this is another fairly compact, very straightforward system. Now, we're going to start off by talking about some general features of adrenal medullary secretion. Now, these may seem like isolated statements, but they're put in the handout because these are specific points that are required to answer questions on step one. Now, first here, you have to know that the major secretion of the adrenal medulla is epinephrine. Very little norepinephrine arises from the adrenal medulla. Therefore, it is not unexpected to conclude that most of the circulating epinephrine arises from the adrenal medulla, but you should also realize most of the circulating epinephrine arises from postganglionic sympathetic neurons. You need to remember that circulating epinephrine came from the adrenal medulla, but circulating norepinephrine arises mainly from sympathetic nerve endings. We mentioned earlier that the adrenal medulla is not essential for life. It is not essential because most of the actions of epinephrine are duplicated by norepinephrine. Because norepinephrine substitutes for epinephrine, the adrenal medulla is not required for survival. One specific point related to step one is that plasma norepinephrine levels double when going from a lying to standing position. If you lie down and you suddenly stand up, you will initiate the carotid sinus reflex and increase sympathetic neuronal activity. And because you increase sympathetic neuronal activity, then the main increase in the plasma is norepinephrine, not epinephrine then. And that is a reasonable important point to remember. Now the next slide shows some of the variables that affect the secretion of epinephrine from the adrenal medulla. It was not possible to bring these all together in a general statement, so we left the individual variables as a list. Just remember that epinephrine is one of several stress hormones. It is not unexpected that it would be secreted during exercise, which is a stressful situation. Emergencies can also be considered stressful situations, and exposure to cold. If you move to a colder environment, your metabolic rate will increase. And this increase in metabolic rate is mainly due to the secretion of epinephrine. It is not due to thyroid hormones. It is the increased secretion of epinephrine that causes the increase in metabolic rate. In addition, epinephrine is secreted in response to severe hypoglycemia. But we can generalize here. Severe hypoglycemia is considered a very stressful situation. And it is important to remember that hypoglycemia will induce an increase in the secretion of all stress hormones. Very important point to remember. If we consider the metabolic actions of epinephrine, epinephrine is a stress hormone, therefore it mobilizes your substrates. More specifically, epinephrine will mobilize carbohydrate by breaking down glycogen. It mobilizes fat by causing lipolysis, but epinephrine does not break down protein. So it mobilizes carbohydrate, it mobilizes fat, but it does not break down protein. In your handout, you have the details presented in text on the actions of epinephrine. I prefer to work from this figure because I think this figure better summarizes the overall metabolic actions of epinephrine. First of all, epinephrine will raise plasma glucose, and the source of this plasma glucose is the liver. Epinephrine causes glycogenolysis in the liver. The liver secretes the glucose into the general circulation, and this is the source of the increased plasma glucose. In addition, you should realize that epinephrine also causes glycogenolysis in skeletal muscle. But I think most of you know that skeletal muscle can never release free glucose. Skeletal muscle cannot dephosphorylate glucose. Therefore, skeletal muscle cannot release free glucose. Therefore, any glycogenolysis that occurs in muscle, the substrate glucose will not be released. It continues to be metabolized at least as far as lactate before it is released. It doesn't have to release lactate. The lactate can be fully metabolized in skeletal muscle, but epinephrine can raise plasma lactate. If it does raise plasma lactate, the source is skeletal muscle. Now finally, epinephrine will increase circulating free fatty acids because epinephrine acting in adipose tissue will increase the activity of hormone-sensitive lipase and therefore promoting the breakdown of triglyceride and the release of fatty acids. So in summary here, epinephrine raises plasma glucose, but the source of this glucose is glycogenolysis in the liver. Epinephrine breaks down glycogen in skeletal muscle, but the skeletal muscle cannot release it as free glucose. It must be metabolized at least as far as lactate. It may be completely metabolized to CO2 and water in the skeletal muscle. A final effect of epinephrine is that it raises plasma free fatty acids because it activates hormone-sensitive lipase in adipose tissue and promotes lipolysis. Now finally here, the pathophysiology involves pheochromocytomas. Now pheochromocytomas are tumors arising from sympathetic chromaffin tissue. Now it may seem strange, but most of these tissues will release norepinephrine rather than epinephrine. And because they release mainly norepinephrine, you can develop severe hypertension, which may be episodic. And because norepinephrine has similar metabolic effects as epinephrine, you can get a rise in plasma glucose and a rise in plasma free fatty acids.